God equips those he calls, stepping into spiritual leadership. How many of you have ever felt that tug in your heart? A sense that God might be calling you to step up, to lead, to serve in a greater capacity. Sometimes some of us question our current calling. If we've been at this for a while, it's not can we do something greater, it's can we continue to do what we're doing now. So if you've ever felt that tug, and then that little voice in your head kicks in and says, who am I? I'm not qualified. I don't have what it takes. If that describes you, you're in good company. Paul begins 1 Timothy 3:1 with these remarkable words. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Notice what Paul doesn't say. He doesn't say whoever is already perfect can apply for leadership. He says whoever aspires, whoever has that desire, that longing to serve, desires something noble. The Greek word for aspires here is oregeti, and it means to reach out for, to stretch toward something. It's the picture of someone extending their hand toward a goal they haven't yet grasped. God honors that reaching, that stretching, that holy ambition to serve his people. Too often, we've made spiritual leadership about having arrived rather than about being willing to journey. But Paul calls this aspiration noble, not presumptuous, not prideful, but noble. When you sense God stirring your heart toward leadership, that's not your ego talking. That's the Spirit of God creating holy desire within you. The enemy wants you to believe that desire disqualifies you, that wanting to lead means you're not ready to lead. But Scripture says the opposite. The very fact that you're concerned about your qualifications, that you're taking this seriously, that you're not rushing in carelessly, these are signs that God may indeed be preparing you for something greater. Now let's look at what Paul actually requires for spiritual leadership. And as we walk through these verses, 2-7, I want you to notice something crucial. These are not superhuman qualifications. They're character qualities that every mature believer should be growing toward. Now, the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. Notice what's not on this list. Paul doesn't say you need a seminary degree, though education is valuable. He doesn't require a certain age, though maturity matters. He doesn't demand a perfect track record, though integrity is essential. What he describes is character. The kind of person you're becoming, not the credentials you've already accumulated. Now let's take a look at these characteristics. Let's be honest about what above reproach means. It doesn't mean sinless. Only Jesus was sinless. It means your life has integrity, that there's no major inconsistency between your public faith and your private life. It means when people look at you, they see someone genuinely pursuing Christ. Faithful to his wife. This speaks to covenant faithfulness, whether you're married or single. It's about being trustworthy in your most intimate relationships. Temperate and self-controlled. These aren't about perfection, but about growth in discipline and wisdom. Here's what encourages me. Paul is describing a trajectory, not a destination. These qualities develop over time through God's grace and our cooperation with His Spirit. The question isn't, have I arrived, but am I growing? Is God developing these qualities in me? I think of Peter, impulsive, foot-in-mouth Peter. Jesus didn't wait for Peter to become perfect before calling him to leadership. He saw what Peter was becoming and invested in that potential. The same God who equipped Peter is ready to equip you. Here's the truth that will transform your perspective on spiritual leadership. The qualifications Paul lists aren't superhuman, and they're not entrance requirements. They're graduation goals. God doesn't call the equipped, He equips the called. Think about how God develops these qualities in us. Self-control comes through facing temptation and choosing obedience. Gentleness develops through conflict and choosing grace over harshness. The ability to teach grows through studying God's Word and sharing it with others, even imperfectly at first. God uses three primary tools in His equipping process. First, His Spirit. Romans 8:29 tells us God is conforming us to the image of His Son. The Holy Spirit is actively working to develop Christ-like character in every believer. When you feel inadequate, remember that the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is working in you. Second, His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, Scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's Word doesn't just inform us, it transforms us, equipping us for the work He's prepared for us. Third, His community. God rarely develops leaders in isolation. He uses mentors, fellow believers, even difficult people to shape our character. Every challenging relationship, every opportunity to serve, every moment of testing becomes part of God's equipping process. I remember when I first sensed God's call to ministry. I was at a training for clerks of session and commissioned lay pastors. This was back in the days when we were told what we could not do. Not what we could do. I know a lot of people remember those days. A commissioned lay pastor leaned over to me and sarcastically said, "Doesn't this sound like something you would like to do?" I looked at those seasoned pastors and thought, I'll never be like them. But God didn't call me to be like them. He called me to be the leader He was making me to be. The same is true for you. God isn't trying to make you into someone else. He's developing the unique leader He created you to be. Moses felt unqualified. I can't speak well. God equipped him. Gideon felt inadequate. I'm the least in my family. God equipped him. David was just a shepherd boy when God chose him as king. God equipped him too. The pattern is clear. God specializes in using ordinary people for extraordinary purposes. So how do we move from I'm not qualified to God is making me qualified? Well, it starts with changing your perspective on what disqualifies us versus what God can use. Your past mistakes don't disqualify you. They become testimonies of God's grace. Your current struggles don't eliminate you. They keep you humble and dependent on God. Your sense of inadequacy doesn't exclude you. It positions you to rely on God's strength rather than your own. Look at Timothy himself. Paul had to encourage this young leader repeatedly. In 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul tells him, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers." Timothy struggled with confidence, yet Paul entrusted him with significant leadership responsibilities. The key is understanding that confidence in leadership doesn't come from believing in yourself. It comes from believing in the God who calls and equips you. When Moses asked God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" God's answer wasn't about Moses' qualifications. God simply said, "I will be with you." That's God's promise to every leader he calls. I will be with you. Not you've got this on your own, but I will be with you. Your adequacy comes not from your abilities, but from His presence and power working through you. This shift in perspective changes everything. Instead of focusing on what you lack, you begin to see what God is developing. Instead of being paralyzed by your weaknesses, you become excited about how God can use them to display His strength. Instead of waiting until you feel ready, you step forward in faith, trusting that God will provide what you need when you need it. Remember, every great leader in Scripture felt inadequate at first. The difference between those who stepped into their calling and those who didn't wasn't their qualifications. It was their willingness to trust that God would equip them along the way. So where do you go from here? Let me challenge you with three practical steps. First, identify one area where God is already developing you. Look at Paul's list in 1 Timothy 3. Where do you see growth happening in your life? Maybe you're becoming more self-controlled, more hospitable, gentler. Recognize that this isn't coincidence. It's God preparing you for something greater. Second, take one concrete step toward leadership this week. Maybe it's volunteering to help with a ministry, offering to teach a Sunday school class, or simply having a conversation with your pastor about how you might serve. Don't wait until you feel fully ready. Step forward in faith. Third, find a mentor or an accountability partner. God develops leaders in community. Find someone who can speak into your life, encourage your growth, and help you navigate the challenges of leadership development. Let me leave you with this truth. If God has stirred your heart toward leadership, He's not playing games with you. He doesn't create desires He won't fulfill or call people He won't equip. The very fact that you're here today listening to this message, wrestling with these thoughts, that might be God's way of confirming His call on your life. Don't let fear rob the church of the leader God is preparing you to be. Don't let inadequacy keep you from the noble task God has in mind for you. Trust that the same God who called David from the sheep pen, who called Peter from his fishing boat, who called Paul from his persecution of the church, that same God is able to take your ordinary life and use it for extraordinary purposes. The church needs leaders who understand that their strength comes from God, not themselves. We need leaders who are humble enough to keep growing, brave enough to step forward, and faithful enough to trust God's equipping process. Your calling may not look like anyone else's, but it's yours. God has been preparing you for this moment, developing you for this purpose. The question isn't whether you're qualified. The question is whether you're willing to let God continue His equipping work in and through you. Will you trust that God equips those He calls? Will you take that next step of faith? The church and the world is waiting for the leader God is making you to be.